Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Friend of the crow, Brandon Lee.
You got it.
All right. Okay, that's been recording. I need a starting point for what's his name? Either me or Paul. So I'm going to count down, get some dead air.
And Chris Paul? There.
Mm-hmm, Chris Paul. He's our producer. Countdown in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, guys. Welcome to... The Strickland Patreon mailbag episode. I'm assuming it's 64. I'm Drew. I got two guests with me. To my left, he is the creative director for the Strickland, formerly. And his name is Stingy, a.k.a. Atho. What up, Stink?
Atho.
Oh, I though, at though, whatever, same difference.
Yeah, I'm all right, though.
That's good to hear. And then, to my right, I have another person from the Strickland who, I don't remember the last time he's added a contribution to the website. Dallas Amico. Dallas, when was the last time you had something posted on the website?
Oh, man, I do a lot of good work keeping the Discord going, making sure there's reactions to everything people say. You know,
that's my job as well now.
Yeah, no, I haven't written anything, it's been a little while. Life's been busy.
Before we get started, though, I have to make an announcement. The Strickland has a Patreon. You can subscribe to it. There are a number of tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland every Friday that I do with Prez. You also get access to Drew, a.k.a. Doug's mailbag that he does every other week. You also get access to the Strickland Discord where the conversation never stops. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to wonderful weekly articles by Jack Hunley and Matthew Miranda, two of the best in the business. You will also get access to Strick and Roll, my solo pod, where I yell, rant, and rave about the Knicks even more. There's further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. Those come with a variety of additional benefits like merchandise discounts, listening in on pod recordings as we did this past week, even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day. Whether you choose to subscribe or not, none of this would be possible without you.
Listen, we all can't be Schwinn, who's recording three different podcasts and in the Discord 24/7. Like, we can't be this man.
I was on the live Zoom recording for the last podcast, and the dude was writing my length Discord posts while he's ranting on the podcast. He's truly a basketball gift, a basketball talent.
He's our Skip Bayless.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know that I would quite put Schwinn on that level, but yeah. That's the sort of air he's getting into, yeah.
Schwinn Bayless. I'll put him there.
Schwinn Bayless.
We'll just put him there, Schwinn Bayless. he's going to be very happy to when he hears this, but he's actually not going to listen to it. So, like, who are we kidding? Like, he's not going
to
hear.
Oh, no. He also listens to every basketball podcast ever made. I'm convinced of that.
I don't think – I guarantee – we should make a bet.
Okay, what are we
– right now, which will be if Schwinn actually does mention this – in the Discord at some time tomorrow. I will.
That has to be tomorrow.
Has to be tomorrow.
Has to be tomorrow.
I will Venmo each of you $5.
How about we make it more exciting and more interesting? We're all coffee lovers here. Oh. We've got to mail a nice set of beans to each other from local beans.
You know what? I'll do that. I'll get you some local beans from Brookline, Massachusetts.
Need some Boston beans.
Some Boston beans. It's gonna be Dunkin' Donuts. you're gonna get a bag of Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
I'll mail your mom a set of beans.
All right. So what we're here to do is answer your questions. Your very, very good questions that you all wrote to us in the Strict Chord. But before we get to those questions, intro, are you ready for the NBA champs to be crowned? Oh, this is the old ad read. Whatever. Join the finals action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make $5 on an NBA bet and get $150 in free bets instantly. Guys, how's that sound? That sounds pretty cool, right?
I'm a gambler. I love this idea.
Great.
I think, it actually goes really well with the Discord too. You could get an edge in the chat.
Right, there we go.
King's edge.
I got to keep reading the bold stuff. Boom. Call to action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code TBPN and make $5 bet during the NBA Finals, which isn't happening, but whatever. Get $150 free bets. See if the promo code works. That promo code is TBPN only at DraftKings. And then also, if you're a gambler, do the 1-800. You're equivalent to 1-800-GAMBLER. Covered all my bases. We're gonna find out if Alex is like he did a good job or not on that. So that's gonna be another interesting.
He usually tries all of the gambling numbers, right, to make sure they're the right ones.
Yeah.
He uses all the promo codes to make sure they work.
Yeah. Before publishing, you know.
That's totally fair. So yeah, there you go. I read an old thing, but DraftKings. There you go. Official sponsor of the Strickland.
What did you say? TBPN?
TBPN.
What's that?
Oh, I don't know. It's the promo code.
The promo
code? I don't know. $10 per night?
Oh. $10 per night.
There you go.
I knew it the whole time.
All right, guys. So we are going to get to some mailbag questions right now. And we're going to start off with VillainX. Villain X asks us, did anyone with the Strick or Locked On Knicks want to be at the Brunson Presser? So guys, did any of you want to be at the Brunson Presser that, you know, was such a hot ticket that the media wasn't invited to? Like, did you really want to go to that?
Do you want me to take it? I'll go.
Yeah, did you want to go?
No.
No?
No.
Dallas?
I'll just.
Oh, say, you're still talking? Okay.
Still going. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you better than one word answers just one time. But, I wouldn't. I don't want to talk to anyone for, you know, like
no.
One question and then you get a little follow up if, if you got them going on something like, oh, yeah, that's a good question. Oh, you get a little follow up. All right. Now get lost, you know. I'll let someone, you know, I don't know. Someone who also didn't get invited, but that gets paid by a dying industry to go ask lofty questions that will get like pretty much whatever presser answers, you know, like Jalen Brunson's not going to give you something to go on. So no, not very interested, but it would be cool to go and see what like the little kids ask. But I'm not interested in like covering it.
Dallas, are you interested in covering it?
Nope, not particularly, but it would be super cool to have somebody from the Strickland who could, like, you know, if we could get some press passes, that'd be pretty sweet. I could go to the you know, the Clippers games when they're out here, the Lakers games. We have people spread across the country.
That's true, but we would ask the stupidest questions though.
There's nothing wrong with asking a stupid question. There's like no such thing as a stupid question.
Berman has made his career.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah,
Mark Berman made his career off these questions.
But actually, I mean, I think we would ask astute questions, you know. We would hive mind it and figure out what was important, what we wanted to know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a few different press post-game type things, and like, if you're not doing like a daily thing, like, you're not going to get something substantive from that sort of an environment. I'm much more interested in long form sort of a deal, which is why the Strickland is the best place on earth. So,
yeah, because I feel like
at New York Post,
right? You would have to be there, like at the practices, getting to know these guys, and then when you do the after game stuff, there's an element of like trust to actually get something or actually have something interesting to say. So, like, if we just pop in, they're just be like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care what numbers you have. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of the relationships you develop over multiple post-game pressers is like the thing that's going to be like, hey, let me talk to you about that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And like, now I'll get an actual answer instead of just like, well, I had 20 points tonight. I wish I could have done it on 12 shots instead of 17.
All right. Dallas, do you have anything else to add before I move on, go to the next question? Great. Question number two comes from Bomber BCM. This ain't even a diss, but would we even talk about the Pacers as little as the media does if Caitlin Cooper wasn't covering them? Yeah, pretty much.
I would still talk about. I would talk about how hideous their uniforms are. I do that on a regular basis. But yeah, no, Caitlin is incredible. And I know way too much about the Pacers strictly because it's like a delight to read her articles or to listen to her podcasts. otherwise, I would almost prefer not knowing. It's like a detriment to learn about the Pacers, but I get to learn about them in a good way.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm actually like starting, like now that they're tearing it down a little bit, I'm starting to be more interested in what they're up to. Like I'm just intrigued by the process of building up a team. So I think that's kind of interesting. And then I don't know, Cooper does such a, like she's got the, you know, like kind of the ability to sort of speak nuance kind of plainly without without literally having you in the gym together. Like it's hard. I mean, for me, like I read a lot of people that are saying this, that, and the other. And then I'm just like, all right, thanks for nothing, kinda. But with Caitlin's work, man, no, it's pretty clear like how what the word says means to the court. And yeah, no, I wouldn't pay attention otherwise. But now that they're tearing it down or almost tearing it down, I think the work's probably going to be better and better, honestly.
Doesn't have to ask that. Can Sabonis and Turner fit together question anymore?
That's exciting. I have to say, that is pretty exciting.
Yeah. But she's got that, she's got a coaching background too. Like, I think if I remember hearing correctly, her father or something was like a head coach for some sort of team. So she has been in the trenches a little bit, or at least like learned straight from the trenches. It comes through. Like, I learned something every single time.
I don't know Caitlin's story, but like, no, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that she's like a coach's kid. Like it's we know.
Yeah.
Right. Next question comes from Squeege. Who's better, one Damian Lillard with maxed out loyalty buffs, or one Emmanuel quickly juiced up on the power of prayer? obviously quickly because of the power of prayer.
I mean, no, you're wrong.
How am I wrong?
If you let Jesus take the wheel these days. That fool is gonna Thelma and Louise you out of this world. So
yeah, but we're all got those think. Like when you talk about the idea, like is one of us? He is a part of us. He is whole. We are. He is the universe. The universe is us. Type thing. You know.
Nah, that type of thought can eat shit. As far as I'm concerned, no, I don't buy it. Also, right. I don't even believe in God like that. So. Give me Damian Lillard all the way.
I mean, fuck Damian Lillard. He can't even rap, so no. I'm going quickly with the power of prayer.
Juiced up Dame.
Dallas, you're the tiebreaker. Who are you picking?
I want to talk about Squeege's name. I always like to call him Squeegee in my head because it's got like the E's at the end.
Oh, interesting.
Squeegee. I'm pretty sure it's Squeege because I asked him once. But I, you know, like with warm perm, I like to not necessarily.
Oh man,
pronounce their names correctly.
I don't think it's whatever. I've always read Matt's name as Wampy Arm.
That's how I read it too.
You go, oh, that guy, yeah, the guy with the wampy arm.
Yeah, wampy arm.
Oh yeah, that's Matt. Yeah, he got a wampy arm. But
he probably does too.
As Squeege, though, it's Squeege. Definitely Squeege. Yeah, yeah. Squeege.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Yeah.
Stink, I'm very upset that you don't see the light within yourself like that.
Excuse me. Can I stand on that?
All right, our next question.
We're killing it, this pod. This pod is good.
I mean, I'll say this before you try and we have to go.
All right, I'm listening. Okay. I'm listening. We don't have to go anywhere. What do you got?
You're the only one. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Boom. I mean, Hashem is everything we can't know, and that's God. You can't know God. Get off my fucking stones, man. I'm talking about two tablets. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, motherfucker. Juiced up Dame. Let's go.
Yeah, you got me there. I got no other counters. All right. Next question comes from ZMP323, Star J Barrett Enjoyer. If a trade for Donovan Mitchell gets done and Julius is still here, then how likely do you think it is that Julius actually accepts his new role as the fourth option on this team? What do you think the best case and worst case scenarios would look like if he's still here?
I mean,
the worst case could be absolutely horrendous. Like, you have two guys who don't care about defense, who don't run back, who, when they don't have the ball, just sort of hold their shorts and like just stand on the wing or whatever. That could be really bad. But the upside is actually kind of tantalizing. Like, if you fixed Julius Randle's, like, if like you just thought of him and like hit like, oh, okay, this like big wing switch defender, you know, like if he really hit his what he could be if he really just tried a little bit and was like connected and in the right space, which I would not bet on. There could be something there for sure, but I don't want to try that at all.
I think just calling him a fourth option is a mischaracterization of what's happening in front of you right now. Like, Julius is still the first option in Julius's mind, right?
He did that all last year.
And I don't see, like, Jalen Brunson, introductory presser was great, but guess what? you're not the first option. It's Julius. Julius knows it. Julius wants Jalen to know it. And Tibbs knows it. Like, Tibbs is still there, man. And that guy, if he's proven anything, it's that he loves to just try that same thing again. We'll look at it later and see if it's fucked up or not. You know, he's not a fourth option. I don't think.
He's not even
Mitchell, he might be willing to be a co-first.
Okay.
He'd be willing to be a second option.
He's not even, funny enough, he's not really even cut out to be it, other than like, I mean, especially when he's not trying on the defensive end, like outside of rebounding, he's kind of bad at all the things you need to do as a not first option. Like, he's not a great, despite his size, he's not a very good screener. He doesn't really, he's not an intuitive role man, you know? He's not a connecting passer. Like, he doesn't swing the ball really well. He doesn't move it fast. He's not a good defender. He doesn't spread the floor. He's not like a catch and shoot guy. So like all the things you want, he doesn't cut well, or like, you know,
his cutting is more like of a, it's like the defense, like if he tries, because like you see him, he can get downhill off of coming off the screen. So, and like, it's pretty effective, but then you're just like, well, is he going to consistently cut? And it's like, no.
I guess that leads me to Dallas, let's say. Do you think Brunson in a pick and roll with Julius has like the savvy to slow him down and sort of like, because, so one thing that really drives me fucking crazy with Julius is that he's going 900 miles an hour all the time.
Yes.
And Brunson is pretty much the opposite of that. Like, he's very controlled, measured, and like, he's going to get where he needs to be, wherever the, whatever the defense gives him or whatever he does to the defense, he's going to get where he needs to be. And like, can they match that two person tempo enough to like make Julius actually slow down and do some of those things the right way? Because going to a screen, right? Like, no, he doesn't really screen very well, but sometimes he screens the living shit out of people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like, it's not because it's like he can't do it. Yep. It's just sometimes, or really most of the time, he's kind not interested in that. I think you should just give me the ball back and I'll figure it out. And why don't you go down to the corner, cut through the other side, like whatever. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, this is a great question. I mean, and the most frustrating thing about the fact that Julius goes 900 miles an hour all the time, especially as a role man, is that his value as a role man comes from keeping the window open. You know, there's that when you set a screen, right, you get that window between the defender, the drop big, and between the point of attack defender who's like on your hip or whatever. So you get that little window, and keeping that open is what Julius needs to do, because he's not a lob threat, right? He doesn't have that like vertical explosion. He's not like Mitchell Robinson or something like that. So he needs to get that window open so he can get that bounce pass, that pocket pass, but he just puts his head down and runs to the hoop or turns around and posts up. And neither of those things. So like, it's, to me, it's an awareness issue, and maybe he could get a little bit better, but like by now he's been in the league for how long, and he hasn't figured out that like, he's not a lob threat, and that just sprinting to the hoop isn't going to get him like the ball on being pick and rolls. Right. He needs to keep that pocket open, and he hasn't figured it out yet. In fairness, in New York, he hasn't really had great pick and roll, partners. There's been some decent ones on the team, but Elfrid Payton and Kemba Walker and Alec Burks have instead been his partners. So that's a different story.
Next question. Holy
You just gotta hope if he's on the team and he's playing with Brunson and they're doing the pick and roll that, you know, when Julius actually wants to free up someone on a dribble handoff, like a Fournier or a Bullock, where like Stink was saying, like the guy's completely crushed and he has a clean look. You really just got to hope that he's translates some of that type of energy into a pick and roll where he can at least clear out a guy and have Brunson have some room for either a pull up three or something, right? Like that's like that's like just at the bare minimum that he can do, because the idea of asking him to set this window, roll, look for the pass in the first place, because he shouldn't also be diving to it. He should be short rolling because he's better at kicking out. Like the idea that like you want him to do that for playmaking, it's so much responsibility that he hasn't done at all in New York. And I don't think it's worth it. It's not worth the risk.
Well, I'm really curious to see if he can set screens for like Buddy Hield next year.
Oh, that'd be great.
Him for some
in LA or for Caitlin Cooper?
Oh yeah, I'll send him to Indiana. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Just get him off. Because also, what makes it even more frustrating is the Knicks actually have the guy who would be the quote unquote best fourth option on the team, which is Obi. Because Obi does it literally everything you need him to be, and then he can also, if he's on fire, scale up. Like you literally have the perfect guy at the four for this team. And he's currently being held back by Randall. Like that's the most frustrating part, because Obi does everything that you actually want with this offense.
So it's a shame. I'll say to like one more thing, like then we can move on. But so like if it's really a team, right? Like I really really see a perfect like Mitchell coming to the team or not aside. I think it's a really great opportunity for the team to like use Fournier and Randall off the bench as your like co-sixth man. Like for whatever it's worth, man, that two-man game they had going toward the end of the year on offense anyway, on defense it was terrible, but on offense it started to really look like the 9-game win streak Reggie Bullock and Julius chemistry, right? So like if you can bring that in off the bench and like make them run 9,000 miles an hour and like you know, whatever. We'll put some points up and we'll get points put on us at the other end. But like that kind of seems like a better situation for Julius usage for me. If he could, because he wants the ball. He is not going to be your fourth option. With Mitchell, he's going to struggle, I think, mightily, like dropping to the second option. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good to me.
I agree with you. And, like, there's all this, I mean, back when we initially signed him, I spent a bunch of time watching Pelicans film, and I really did not like the signing. Because he was not a first option there, right? He was very much like 3-4.
Well, did he fourth option largely there too? No.
Yep, he often played off the bench. But when he didn't have the ball, which was a lot of the time, because he was not used as like the primary ball handler or anything like that when he was on the floor, he just like would stand out on the wing and like just literally stand there, not even ready for the ball really, unless like it was an action that was going to involve him. And that's really what you're going to expect. So I hear you there. I actually really am worried. So just, I mean, getting back to the ZMP question, it's a good one. There's like, you know, people sometimes talk about like defense being contagious or effort being contagious, right? But I think it goes the other way too. So like, I'm really nervous about putting two guys like Julius Randle and Donovan Mitchell together, right? Like that's actually really, that's kind of scary to me. Cause like, you do get, and we saw it last year, right? When you had these lineups of like RJ, Grimes, Deuce, Quickly, whatever, you throw these guys out there, Sims, they freaking were swarming the ball and running all over the place. And these guys were just, you know, absolutely killing it. But there's also this kind of, you know, I think it works the other way too. Lack of effort is contagious, or lack of sort of caring about defense is contagious. And maybe you can survive one weak link, but you put two on the court together or even three on the court, you just start really getting into trouble fast, especially if you're getting into competitive, you know, playoff kind of, if you're talking about playoffs, which I don't know that we would be with Julius Randle and Donovan Mitchell together, to be honest. But I'm not sure.
There's just so much risk involved with just keeping him. Like, even as we're like talking out all these scenarios, because I'm thinking to myself, like, well, he could be a co-six man, and then you actually have a decent playoff line, 8-man rotation. The idea of Obi, Randle, Mitch, right? The idea of like the three of them just kind of rotating the big spot, and then you have Fournier just rotating the wing with a camp, like, right, like there's, you can actually see a really shorter playoff rotation that makes a lot of sense. But then it's like, well, no, you can't risk that. Like, you can't risk being like, hey, Julius, you had your all NBA year, you lost all your goodwill with the fans, and now you got to be the sixth man, right? Like, it's just not gonna play well.
Well, and Tibbs isn't
creative like that anyway. The idea of just being like, oh, we have three big guys, let's have them all play 30 minutes because they all can play with each other. Nope. It's not even an idea, because he'll just be like, well, Obi has to play the five and Randle can't play the five. And it's just like, you realize like you're wasting a lot on offense, because that should have been a crazy lineup, having Randle and Obi as the 4-5, and that really wasn't explored.
If Randle's here, he's starting and he's playing 36 minutes as long as Tibbs is here.
Right.
Yeah, pretty easily.
That's just, I mean, I just don't see, I mean, and it doesn't matter what he does on the court, it seems. Like, I mean, we saw what happened last year. There was just no attempt at any accountability or, yeah.
Okay, so we have, the next three questions are from the same person. It is from Basketball Robot, and they ask Donovan Mitchell or Jaylen Brown. Stink, who are you picking?
I'm going Jaylen Brown. I mean, pretty easily for me. But I'm very dubious of the defensive talents that Donovan Mitchell hasn't shown in the NBA, but theoretically had as a prospect, right? I mean, for me, Brown is a two-way play. If I have to choose between one of these people, like, I don't really want to give up like the full package of whatever Danny Ainge seems to think that he deserves.
Yeah, I don't think Basketball Robot was talking about that in that specific context, if I know this person well enough.
Right, okay. But I mean, so whatever. I I'm just kind of out on the dollar van. I'll walk. I'll get some thinking done. And I'll save my little picks and my little players, and I'll figure it out myself.
Dallas, who are you picking?
I think it's actually a really hard question. I'm not sure exactly what Basketball Robot was asking about, meant by the question. But in my view, Donovan is clearly a better offensive player. And he has a ceiling that is, maybe could be the best offensive player on a team that wins a championship, right? I can see that happening. I do have questions about the thing that I would have a question about. Like, I wouldn't doubt that he could do it as a scorer. The thing I'd have a question about is as a playmaker, because some of his highlight passes are insane. The sort of passing skill he has, the ability to hit any shooter from any place on the court with these like line drive, like exactly accurate passes, is crazy. But he just doesn't make them enough. He doesn't see them. I don't know if it's not seeing them or if he just opts to, his sliders are to shoot more than pass or something like that.
I think it's sorry to cut you, but it's definitely like, I think he doesn't want to see them. I think that's a lot of like, Rudy, you don't really need the ball, right?
Yeah.
And like Mike Conley, what are you going to shuffle around there? And like, come on, man.
You're going to play old man basketball? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, kind of, I mean, I like Mike Conley. I think he's a talented player. Oh, well, he used to be pretty good. But in any case, going back a little bit, like things being contagious on the floor, like, passing is also very contagious. So that's one of the things I really love about Obi, right? You mm-hmm. see Obi on the floor and like the ball suddenly starts to move and players are cutting. And, so somebody that can see the opposite corner off of pick and roll, like, is suddenly like way more dangerous. Like, you just think about, what's the guy? Pablo Prigioni, right? I mean, like, that guy came into the game for whatever, like 10 minutes a game. And suddenly, like, the team was the most exciting they'd be all day. Yep. And it's because, like, yeah, I might be able to make this three, which he probably even shot a pretty good percentage, right? Like, at least 35, like, at least league average, right? Mm-hmm. But the point being is just, like, what if we can get a better one, And, like, it just became super contagious. And then there was freaking J.R. Smith doing anything he possibly could to pass the ball to Steve Novak. Like, it was like so counter to his entire career arc. J.R. Smith passing to like Whitey McWhiterton essentially, right? Like, it didn't make any sense. But so to speak to Mitchell, right? Because that's the point, is that good passing, which I would say is significantly ahead of where Jaylen Brown is moving the ball. I think it can be harnessed. And like, can his defense be harnessed? Not so sure about that. I think the thing that scares me about Mitchell, right, is that like Brunson's here, okay, and then Mitchell is probably not here, okay. But that's your two new additions, kind of like last year, are hiders on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, one of them isn't 6'7", right? So it's like it's a different little equation that needs, it needs more than just like, I think I'll take that one, or this guy, right? I mean, so to me, like, just in a vacuum, as it were, I just see Brown as the two-way more versatile player because his shot making is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his range isn't nearly as good, and maybe his explosion off the bounce isn't as good. Certainly his handle's not as good.
Look, he could cut though, man. He moves.
That still needs to have the ball move though.
He could just move without the ball. Like, he just moves and it's great to watch.
And if
the Knicks need to move it though.
That's true.
I mean, they would have the, again, it's one of those things where, like, if Randall's off the team, they're not going after Donovan Mitchell. They Jaylen Brown's apparently available. You slip him in. You have Brunson, Brown, RJ, Obi, Mitch. Right? That's basically five. Right? Then you have Quickly coming in as, like, the main guy off the bench. Like, the ball's moving. Like, the ball's going to move with that lineup. So, like, it does eventually work out.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.